third, helping people to change through the example of compassion. The renowned and celebrated King Asoka was a great protector of Buddhism and a devout disciple of the Triple Gem, the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Sangha. One day, King Asoka prepared a sumptuous vegetarian feast for the monks. To show his respect for the Sangha, King Asoka, despite being a king, planned to kneel and prostrate himself before the monastics. Among the monks approaching from the distance, he noticed a young novice. Then he wondered what kind of a precedent he would be setting if he, a great king, were to bow to such a young child. But if he did not pay him respect by bowing, he would feel uneasy about violating Buddhist etiquette. After considering the matter for some time, King Asoka invited the child aside to an out-of-the-way place, and only there did he prostrate himself. "Young novice," whispered the king, "you mustn't tell anyone about my paying respect to you." "Watch this," said the novice, holding out an alms bowl. The youngster leaped toward the bowl, shrinking so that he would fit inside of it. A few moments later, he leaped out of the bowl, regaining his normal size. He did this several times, in and out, until King Asoka was dumbstruck. "Great king," said the little novice in the king's own tone of voice, "you mustn't tell anyone what you just saw." The novice, although tender in years, was ambitious and instructed King Asoka by using his supernatural power, playing a game of compassion with him. Chan instruction does not distinguish age, nor does the practitioner of Chan discriminate between rich and poor or high and low status when he teaches. One day, Chan Master Yin Shui visited a home of a wealthy man to ask for a contribution toward the needs of the community. The wealthy man pushed him out the door. There was no rice to eat in the monastery, and the wealthy man was unwilling to give him alms. The master pondered what he should say and how to fulfill his duty. As he walked along thinking, he noticed a lot of rice flowing down the gutter from the rich man's house. Chan Master Yin Shui thought it a pity, so every day he came to pick up the rice. What he couldn't eat himself, he dried and stored away. 10 years later, a fire broke out in the rich man's house, destroying everything. He had no choice but to begin begging. Greatly distressed and with no place to go, he set off for Master Yin Shui's monastery to plead with the master to take him in. "I earnestly entreat the venerable to have compassion and save me." Chan Master Yin Shui took him in and cooked some rice for him, which the rich man ate with great gusto. "Thank you, master," he said with gratitude. "There's no need to thank me. The rice wasn't mine. It was yours. I just took the time to gather it up, dry it out, and store it. And today, you had need of it." Deeply ashamed, the rich man vowed to mend his ways and to turn over a new leaf. It is characteristic of Chan masters to use compassion to teach and enlighten people, and of their method for teaching and upholding the way. Once there was a Chan master named Tiao Shui, who was a Chan teacher. Suddenly he disappeared, his whereabouts totally unknown to his disciples, who looked high and low for him. One of his disciples looked and looked for him, eventually searching the deserted outskirts of town. He discovered a small cave beneath a deserted bridge where many beggars lived. Among the beggars was Chan Master Tiao Shui. Surprised but overjoyed, he pleaded with the master, "Master, please be compassionate enough to return and instruct us in Chan." "Words alone won't work," said the master unenthusiastically. "I could repeat myself 1,000 times, and you still wouldn't get it." "Master, instruct us again, and we'll understand," his disciple anxiously pleaded. "Okay," said Master Tiao Shui, staring at him. "Stay here with me for 3 days, and I'll instruct you in Chan." Hearing this, the disciple thought, "What's 3 days? To study Chan, even 3 years is nothing, so he decided to stay. On the first day, there was nothing but filthy garbage in the cave. There was no water with which to rinse his mouth, much less to take a bath. He did not even know where to urinate. Although he found the first day almost intolerable, he remained patient. On the second day, one of the beggars, an old man, died. Master Tiao Shui called to his disciple and said, "Help me by taking the old beggar outside and burying him." The old beggar had long been ill and smelled bad. Everyone would have avoided him. After the disciple buried him with great difficulty, he returned to find Master Tiao Shui fast asleep. The disciple could not forget the stench and spent the entire night tossing and turning, unable to sleep. Master Tiao Shui arose on the third day and said, "There is no need for us to go begging for alms today. Some of the old beggar's food is left. We'll eat that today." At the thought of eating such vile filth, the disciple wanted to vomit and refused to consider it. A horrible stench hung over everything. Working up his courage, he addressed Master Tiao Shui. "I can't stay here any longer." "So, you can't study Chan with me," said Master Tiao Shui, glaring at him. "Without great compassion, how can we bear hardships and trials to overcome all obstacles and see the world in a different way? Chan Buddhism does not emphasize the superficial, but rather spiritual depth, planting a pure lotus in the mud." One time, Meng Quan, the imperial preceptor, was taking a boat across the river. The boat was just setting off when a sword-bearing general approached in great haste. Raising his whip, he shouted, "Wait! Boatman, take me across." "The boat is already underway," exclaimed everyone on board. "We can't go back." "Take the next boat," replied the boatman. Only Meng Quan, the imperial preceptor, was of a different opinion. "Boatman," he pleaded, "we're still close to shore. Help him out, go back for him." Seeing that it was a Buddhist master, the boatman reluctantly consented to turn the boat around. Unexpectedly, as soon as the general was on board, he began cracking his whip, a few lashes of which fell on Meng Quan, the imperial preceptor. The general shouted at him and cursed him, saying, "You bastard, move aside. Give me your seat." Meng Quan, though bloodied by the whipping, held his tongue and vacated his seat. Seeing how things stood, no one dared to say anything aloud. Instead, they all whispered among themselves about how sorry they felt for the Chan master, who had requested the boatman to go back. Hearing this and finding himself stared at, the general found it difficult to apologize. Upon reaching the other shore, Meng Quan disembarked with the other passengers. Silently, he walked to the shore where he washed his bloody face clean. Smiling, he looked up calmly. The barbarous general felt sorry for Meng Quan. He stepped forward and knelt by the shore, and, his voice filled with remorse, said, "Master, I'm sorry." "That's okay," said Meng Quan good-naturedly. "Everyone is in a bad mood when they are on the road." In practicing Chan and seeking the way, virtue and wisdom are important. But even more so is cultivating a compassionate heart. Only with compassion can the Chan master change the most indomitable people, ridding them of desires and anger, transforming their violence into affability. The strength of a Chan practitioner's ability to enlighten through teaching comes from using a Chan heart, a compassionate heart, and a Buddhist heart to cleanse the world of bad karma.